from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia-European Union kick off the first round of Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IEU-SEPA talks. Indonesia-Singapore strengthen bilateral cooperation. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and the European Union have commenced the fourth round of talks on the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IEU-SEPA, in Surakarta, Central Java. Discussions will run until February 23. Indonesian Trade Ministry's International Trade Director General, Iman Bambagio, who chairs the Indonesian delegation, said his side will focus on market access during the talks. Iman said in a statement on Monday, February 19, that the ministry sees the fourth round as important because it marks the beginning of the substantial stages, particularly for market access for goods and services. Other issues to be discussed include those that had been discussed in previous rounds of talks, including the trade of goods and services, investment, intellectual property rights, business competition, sustainable development, small and medium enterprises, capacity, cooperation, and development. Iman said, negotiations on the IEU-SEPA were expected to be completed this year. Both parties want to establish modern and comprehensive economic ties. The major issue for Indonesia is a trade barrier for Indonesian palm oil following the decision by the European Union Parliament on January 17 to phase out the use of biodiesel manufactured from palm. Indonesia and Singapore agreed to enhance cooperation in investment and vocational training, especially in industrial sector. Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto stated that this will strengthen partnership of the two countries in order to complete each other's economic potential. Erlangga said on Sunday, February 18, in Jakarta, that Singapore is one of neighboring countries that plays a strategic role for the interests of both Indonesia and the region. Minister Erlangga explained that in investments, the ministry has supported Singapore to develop industrial areas in other areas in Indonesia with integrated concept similar to Kendal Industrial Area. He further said the ministry offers areas development in North Kalimantan or Tanah Kuning, Kuala Tanjung, North Sumatra, and Bitung, North Sulawesi. In addition, Indonesia and Singapore also build synergy in human resources competence development through vocational training. Commitment for this purpose is shown by MOU signed by Indonesia Industry Minister and Singaporean Education Minister, technical arrangement between Industry Minister Secretary General and Singaporean Institute of Technical Arrangement between Industry Minister Secretary General and Singaporean Institute of Technical Education Director and Collaborative Agreement between Indonesia Industry Ministry Training Center and Singapore ITE Education Services. West Kalimantan's Police Chief Brigadier General Didi Haryano has instructed his staff to arrest the arsonist forest and land fires in every region. Meanwhile, the land and forest fires at Wonodadi Street 2 and Patria Jaya Hamlet have been extinguished by the police along with Regional Military Command 12 and local people in Rasau Jaya last night. He said in Jakarta on Sunday, there were two settlements that were almost burned by the fires there. Didi said regional police and Indonesian Defense Forces TNI with local people made effort to extinguish the fires. Luckily, the fires did not burn the residents' houses. Didi revealed there would be many losses related to the fires, such as health problems, sea and air transportation disturbance because of the smoke. He had experiences on land and forest fires impact to respiratory infections victims and transportation activity disturbances. He hoped this incident would not happen anymore in West Kalimantan. Didi expected to cooperate with people in order to prevent land fires. According to data of province's Disaster Mitigation Agency, there was around 182 of 2,000 villages have been monitored in the land and forest fire movement. Senior Manager Public Relations of Garuda Indonesia Ihsan Rosan stated the price changes of airport tax at Soekarno-Hatta Airport will not increase Garuda Indonesia airline ticket price. State-owned airport operator Angkasa Pura II Management will adjust the tariff of passenger service tariff or passenger service charge. The increased airport tax in Terminal 3 of Soekarno-Hatta is only valid for international flights from 200,000 rupiah to 230,000 rupiah and effective on March 1, 2018. Erwin recently said in Jakarta that after years of considering, as of March 1, PSC will be adjusted. As for domestic in Terminal 3 remains in 130,000 rupiah. While in Terminal 1 of 50,000 rupiah will be adjusted to 65,000 rupiah for domestic flight in Terminal 2 from 60,000 rupiah to 85,000 rupiah, yet for the international flight, there is no adjustment that is fixed at 150,000 rupiah. Erwin also stated that the tariff adjustment is also in line with several improvements in service facilities for passengers. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The number of Japanese tourists visiting Bali in 2017 rose 7.65% to 253,000 from around 235,000 in the previous year. Head of the Bali branch of the Central Bureau of Statistics BPS Adi Nugroho said in Denpasar on Sunday that most of them flew directly from Japan with only 651 by tourist boats. Japanese were the fourth largest foreign tourists in number after Chinese, Australians, and Indians. Japanese tourists made up 4.44% of the total number of 5.69 million foreign tourists visiting Bali in 2017. Earlier, head of the Bali Tourism Office, Juniarto Putra, said he hoped Japan Airlines would serve regular flights between Bali and Japan. Juniarto said Garuda Indonesia and Japan-based airline ANA, All Nippon Airlines, and Air Asia already serve regular flights between Bali and Tokyo and Osaka. Indians accounted for 4.79% of the total number of foreign tourists visiting Bali in 2017. The eight countries of origin included China, India, Japan, up 7.69%, Britain up 10.07%, the United States 12.11%, France 7.61%, Germany 15.11%, and South Korea 15.45%. Indonesian Finance Ministry is discussing a proposal from the automotive industry demanding a reduction in sales taxes on sedans. Indonesian Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, however, indicated that it would be difficult to meet the demand. Instead, she preferred imposing entry taxes on imported sedans to improve the competitiveness of locally manufactured sedans. She said in Jakarta recently that the ministry may impose an entry tax on imported sedans if the objective is to reduce import. In response, Indonesian Automotive Industry Association Gaikindo Chairman Jongki Sugiarto said the government should not only focus on reducing import but also encourage Indonesian automotive manufacturers to export their products. He added that the association only export multi-purpose vehicles, MPV, but the association also wants sedans, SUVs, and pickups that produce to be exported as well. Meanwhile, the government imposes between 10 and 20% sales tax on non-sedan cars. Minister Sri Mulyani said the tax reduction was being discussed by a team at the Fiscal Policy Agency, BKF. The last item, Indonesia's paragliding won a gold medal through the victory of Rika Wijayanti in the Paragliding Accuracy World Cup, which took place in Tatsilisu, Turkey on Sunday, February 18. As reported by Antara, chairman of Indonesia's paragliding and team manager of Indonesia's paragliding, Wahyu Yuda, in his written statement on Monday, said the training program that has been made by team of coaches can make the Indonesian national team athletes remain strong and can be the winner despite the cold weather and strong winds. According to Wahyu Yuda, the achievement is also the result of the national training center activities of the Indonesian paragliding teams ahead of 2018 Asian Games. Paragliding World Championship of the number of accuracy landing becomes the opening event as well as at the test event for the Indonesian women's national team ahead of the 2018 Asian Games. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia-European Union kick off the fourth round of Indonesian-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Indonesia-Singapore strengthen bilateral cooperation. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is New Political Parties in the 2019 Election. On Saturday 17 February, the General Election Commission KPU officially established 14 political parties to participate in the 2018 election, which fulfill administrative requirements and factual verification. Of the 16 political parties that passed the stage of factual verification at the central level, there are two political parties that do not qualify or meet the requirements. They are the Start Crescent Party or PBB and the Indonesian Justice and Unitary Party, PKPI. In addition, the KPU had also carried out the serial number of political parties on Sunday, 18 February. Among the 14 parties that passed as a participant in the 2019 election, four of them are newcomers to Indonesian political arena. They are Indonesian Unity Party or Perindo, the Working Party, the Indonesian Movement of Restoration Party Garuda, and the Indonesian Solidarity Party PSI. As a new political parties, they certainly want to stand in parallel with the old political ones. The newcomers have their own way and style to win the public sympathy. Take for example, the Indonesian Movement of Restoration Party Garuda will encourage young people to join because the young are considered more independent, while Indonesian Unity Party Perindo will recruit cadres in accordance with the aspiration of the people. They must have competence and many advantages in many ways, in addition to high levels of public trust and good morality. Indonesian Solidarity Party PSI offers a new style in politics. It will target more young people and women who had been considered underrepresented interests. While the Working Party, or Partai Berkarya, initiated by Hutomo Mandala Putra Elias Tommy Soeharto, the son of the former President of Republic of Indonesia Soeharto, will hold political school internally, so that his cadres have a good political knowledge to compete against the senior politicians. Can the four new political parties win the voters' sympathy? Can they compete against the 10 long-standing political parties in the 2019 election? New political parties must convince voters that they are different from other parties. In addition, they must learn from the experience of senior parties in selecting legislative candidates. The people who will sit in the parliament should be chosen selectively. If they want to succeed in entering legislative bodies, both DPR and DPRD, they should be able not only to attract a significant number of voters for the party, but also to maintain integrity as the people's representatives. The new political parties should not rely solely on their founders. They must also prove their existence with real performance and with honorable aim to build a better Indonesia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on February 19, 1945 when Iwo Jima War was begun. The United States of America viewed Iwo Jima Island in the south of Japan as key to win Pacific War. The island had to be seized to become front-line base of airplanes which would bomb Japanese land. The battle between United States of America and Japan finally broke and was held from February 19 until March 1945. The main purpose of the United States of America was to conquer Iwo Jima Island, including three airports. The battle was one of the bloodiest battles in the Pacific War's history. In the battle, United States of America succeeded to seize Iwo Jima Island, including the airports. The next event was in 1985 when William J. Scudder became the first artificial heart patient. Artificial heart, or more popularly with the name Jerpit 7, was designed by Dr. Robert Jerpit, a doctor for the United States of America. Jerpit 7 was designed to function like human heart, which has two pumps. William J. Scudder was one of the artificial heart recipients. On February 19, 1985, Scudder died on August 6, 1986 due to lung infection. 620 days after receiving Jerpit 7, Scudder was a person who the longest to survive with the artificial heart. And the last event was in 1986 when Soviet Union launched Mir. Mir was a space station of Soviet Union which was considered very successful. It was a long-term permanent residence for humans on space. Through Sun cooperation, Mir could be accessed by the world and used by astronauts from many countries. It orbited successfully by connecting sun modules, which were launched separately one by one from February 1986 until 1996. The station ended on March 23, 2001. Mir had a test to monitor it to find out alternative mineral and fishery and to experiment processing various kinds of materials. Russia operated Mir until November 2000 after going round the Earth for more than 86,000 times. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the segment My Indonesia. For today's edition is the government accelerate financial inclusion in Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution stated that the government is committed to accelerating financial inclusion in Indonesia through the issuance of prudential regulation on the National Strategy of Financial Inclusion to a series of non-cash social assistance programs. The vote was appreciated by the United Nations Secretary General Special Advocate for the Financial Inclusion, Quint Maxima of the Netherlands. Minister Nasution pointed out in Jakarta on Tuesday that there are government assistance programs in the form of school assistance, scholarships, community business loans, familyhood program, and other assistance. He also explained that an indicator of the development of financial inclusion is the growing number of accounts in Indonesia today. He added that the growth of people's accounts has been significant over the last 2 years. Meanwhile, United Nations Special Envoy for Financial Inclusion, Quint Maxima of the Netherlands, appreciated the Indonesian government's move. When meeting President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on last Tuesday, February 13, 2018, Queen Maxima said that compared to her last speech in Tunisia 18 months ago, the current administration of President Joko Widodo has created many policies in the field of financial inclusion. However, she reminded that Indonesia still have a lot of homework. There are still many people in rural areas who have not been able to access banks and other financial services, especially those are engaged in agricultural sector. To President Joko Widodo, Queen Maxima said that the UN will help improve financial inclusion in Indonesia. Her side is looking forward to continuing cooperation with Indonesian government, the private sector, state-owned banks, and other banks. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo said that in the development of financial inclusion, the most important point is the simplification of system and permits. Both of these factors can accelerate the inclusion of state finance if they can be resolved. System simplification is very important. This is what we have to fix. The second is to simplify the permits that make us headache. These two things, if we can solve them, will accelerate our financial inclusion. President Joko Widodo wants Indonesians to access financial institutions simply and quickly. In addition, he also wants to simplify permits that seems difficult. This is to apply and expand the economic inclusion in the country. He promised to speed up financial inclusion. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia and the European Union have commenced the fourth round of talks on the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement in Surakarta, Central Java. Indonesia and Singapore agreed to enhance cooperation in investment and vocational training, especially in industrial sector. Indonesian Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto stated that this will strengthen partnership of the two countries in order to complete each other's economic potential. West Kalimantan's Police Chief Brigadier General Didi Haryano has instructed his staff to arrest the arsonist forest and land fires in every region. Meanwhile, the land and forest fires at Wonodadi Street 2 and Patria Jaya Hamlet have been extinguished by the police along with Regional Military Command 12 and local people in Rasau Jaya last night. Senior Manager Public Relations of Garuda Indonesia Ihsan Rosan stated the price changes of import tax at Soekarno-Hatta Airport will not increase Garuda Indonesia airline ticket price. The number of Japanese tourists visiting Bali in 2017 rose 7.65% to 253,000 from around 235,000 in the previous year. Indonesian Finance Ministry is discussing a proposal from the automotive industry demanding a reduction in sales taxes on sedans. Indonesian Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, however, indicated that it would be difficult to meet the demand. Instead, she preferred imposing entry taxes on imported sedans to improve the competitiveness of locally manufactured sedans. Indonesia's paragliding won a gold medal through the victory of Rika Wijayanti in the Paragliding Accuracy World Cup, which took place in Tatlisu, Turkey on Sunday, February 18. As reported by Antara, Chairman Indonesia's Paragliding and Team Manager of Indonesia's Paragliding, Wahyu Yuda, in his written statement on Monday said the training program that has been made by team of coaches can make the Indonesian national team athletes remain strong and can be the winner despite the cold weather and strong winds. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Cungka Dance from Southeast Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listeners, Bhutan Island is well known with its asphalt. Besides, there are various kinds of tribes on the island. One of them is Chia Chia tribe, with the total population reaching around 80,000. This tribe is quite known with its uniqueness. The people of Chia Chia use Hangul script in their daily life. Their traditional dance is Cungka. Listeners, Cungka dance has existed since religion did not come yet at Wabula Village, one of the villages
which is lived by Chia Chia tribe. The dance has its own meaning for the tribe. Chungka dance was brought by the first human who the first time set foot on Wabula village's land. This time, Chungka dance is performed if there is usually a wedding ceremony. Listeners, before Chungka dance is performed, traditional song Waironi is sung first without being accompanied by dance and drum. Then, Chungka dance starts being performed by male dancer and then by female dancer. The dancer is accompanied by traditional music such as big gong, small gong, and drum. In seasons of the dance, Parabela or traditional male leaders and figures dance Chungka. Part of the dance has a meaning when process of human happens from the human soul trip, which becomes a lump of water. After the male dancer, the dance is then performed by female dancers or wife of the Parabela and other figures. Listeners, Chungka dance, which is danced by female, has a meaning human trip in uterus, namely from water to become a lump of blood. In the wedding ceremony, the Chungka dance will be continued with Nibi dance. The dance is performed in pairs by using souls. The dance has a meaning happiness, because from the lump of blood to become flesh and bone. The dance is closed with the dance from the bride along with the family. The dance of the bride has a meaning, a process which becomes human intact. Because it has very high meaning, the dance must be performed by the bride. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Chungka dance from Southeast Sulawesi. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Mengambil Bagasi, or in English, Taking the Baggage. Stay tuned. Next, it is a conversation about mengambil bagasi, or in English, taking the baggage. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Tony, a British man, and an airport officer at Adi Sucipto Airport, Yogyakarta.
Let's follow the conversation. Tony, permisi in English, excuse me. Officer, yeah, in English, sure. Tony, di mana tempat bagasinya? Di mana tempat bagasinya? In English, where is the baggage claim? Officer, pesawat apa, Pak? Pesawat apa, Pak? In English, what is the flight, sir? Tony, pesawat Garuda dari Jakarta. Pesawat Garuda dari Jakarta. In English, Garuda from Jakarta. Officer, oh di sana, di lantai 2, ban berjalan nomor 3. Di sana, di lantai 2, ban berjalan nomor 3. In English, over there, it's on the second floor at the baggage conveyor belt number 3. Tony, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. Officer, sama-sama. Sama-sama. In English, you're welcome. After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Permisi. Permisi in English, excuse me. Ban berjalan. Ban berjalan, conveyor belt. Bagasi. Bagasi, baggage. Di mana? Di mana? Where? Nomor tiga. Nomor tiga. Number three. Pesawat. Pesawat. Plane. Apa? Apa? What? Dari Jakarta. Dari Jakarta. From Jakarta. Di sana. Di sana. Over there. Di sini. Di sini. Here. Di lantai dua. Di lantai dua. At the second floor. To ask about location or place, you can use the word di mana. In today's conversation, Tony asks about the baggage claim. Tony, di mana tempat ambil bagasi? Di mana tempat ambil bagasi? In English, where is the baggage claim? To answer the question, you can say the location which is started with the preposition di. For example, di sana. Di ban berjalan nomor 3. Another example. Tony, di mana anjungan tunai mandiri or ATM? Di mana anjungan tunai mandiri or ATM? In English, where is the automated teller machine or ATM? Officer, di sana. In English, over there. Di lantai 2. In English, at the second floor. Listener, when showing location or something, Indonesian people usually use the right hand, both with their index finger, thumb, or all five fingers. Showing something by using left hand is considered impolite. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We also hold monthly quiz with many interesting prizes. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present some Kroncong songs to you featuring an Indonesian female singer, Ratna Listy. To initiate the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the first song entitled Kenangan di Desa by Ratna Listy. Stay tuned.
Alir sungai nan jernih
The song you've just listened, Kenangan di Desa, tells about the beautiful and lovely panorama of the village, with white paddy field, yellowing rice and bird singing, as well as the beautiful memories that could not forget all the lifetime. Although it is Kroncong genre, the Sundanese music, both in its rhythm and music, are dominantly felt in the song. The combination of Kroncong and Sundanese music makes the song as enjoyable to listen. Ratna Sulistyaningsih, better known as Ratna Listy, was born in Madiun, East Java, also known in Indonesia as presenter and TV film artist. Her singing career was started since she won the Bintang Radio TV or Radio Television Singing Contest for East Java in 1989. Well, listener, before we continue to know more about Ratna Listy, let's listen to the next Kroncong song entitled Kroncong Kemayoran. Kroncong Kemayoran is a famous Kroncong song. Besides cheerful and dynamic rhythm, the lyrics is written in a Batavian poem. Like the last part of the lyrics, Merpati terbang melayang, cinta sejati selalu terbayang. Kedondong di atas peti, ini kroncong mohon berhenti. Semogalah semua senang di hati. During her career in the Indonesian music industry, the woman, who was born in August 1973, has launched several pop genre albums such as Obsessi in 1998, Azan in 2002, Hitam Putih in 2006, and a traditional album along with Dul Sumbang and Nini Karlina. In 2013, Ratna Listy also launched a Kroncong album entitled Kroncong Asli. Well, listener, to conclude our music corner for today's edition, we'll play the last two songs by Ratna Listy entitled Mawar Sekuntum and Indahnya Pantai Senggigi. Happy listening, and see you in the next edition of Music Corner. Bye!
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.